This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin
Durant. You Kevin Durant, mate? Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Dunk.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht, and with me, John Hamm. John Hamm, what is wrong with the Thunder?
The PA announcer is not doing enough defense chants.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he is not leading enough of those chants. Therefore, the fans are not reminding the team to play defense. So, ultimately, it's the PA announcer's fault.
What do you think is like the main catalyst for their defense just being awful?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, last night, Portland got into the paint pretty much at will. So you look at the guards in that situation, and there was really no like line of defense. I know like Myers Leonard, when he's on the court, he's kind of he's hanging out on the perimeter, admiring his own hair. Right. But, you know,
it's great hair.
I don't know. I start with perimeter defense, and again the interior defense has been non-existent as well. It is so reminiscent not only of last season where they came out after the All-Star break and had a terrible stretch, but even the season before, the Plagues of Egypt season, where they just basically said, "Screw it, we're not going to play defense. Let's go score."
Right. This looks like the Mitch McGarry Thunder right now.
Yeah, it really does.
And the three-pointers were just killer. The Blazers shot 47% from three last night, and more than half were wide open. I mean, there was not a tough contested three that I can remember from last night, which was just infuriating. And like you said, whenever you're allowing layups and open threes, how the heck are you going to win? You're going to definitely, I mean, I thought the Blazers were going to put up more than 126 in regulation whenever they were in the 90s, upper 90s in the third quarter. I thought, oh, man, like we're headed for 140 for this team because they're just giving up everything. And they played well down the stretch whenever Billy put in that closing lineup that included basically the starters with Taj Gibson. And they looked pretty good during that stretch, but that was really about it. And it was just kind of too little too late, because the defense definitely picked up during that stretch. And you're like, oh, well, they are capable of making this happen.
Right.
But the rest of the game, they just wouldn't. And last night was a weird game. They started off just on fire. They scored 40 points in the first quarter, ended up with an 11-point lead going into the second, and even had a pretty nice lead at halftime. And then the third quarter, the Portland Trailblazers put up 38 points, and they kind of flip-flopped with the Thunder in the first quarter. They put up 38. The Thunder only scored 25, and that was really the game. They just gave up too many open shots. The defense was soft. And I think like the main catalyst is Stephen Adams, right? I mean, he is not even close to the caliber of player that he is. He's supposed to be the second best player on the team. I mean, last night was I don't even know where I'd place him where his importance was last night. He was just so bad. I really don't get it. He was still a plus two, but I think that's because he played a bulk of his minutes with Westbrook, who was a plus seven. But his play has been really strange, and I think someone asked about that, and people have been asking for days about this. From as a boxman, asked, Adams looks tired. Do you think the stretch where Kanter was out and he played extra minutes had an effect? I'll answer that real quick. I don't know that it. I'm not sure that it had that much of an effect. So during the stretch, he only had five games when Kanter was out that he played more than 35 minutes. And so it's not like they were just killing him. There were a few games where he played a lot of minutes. Like he played 44 minutes one game, 37, 36, 39, 35. But he's also played eight games prior to that where he played 35-plus minutes. So it's not like he had never played 35-plus minutes ever this season. So I'm not really buying that. Do you have any theories other than, like, this is just a slump? Because I think that that's what it is, but do you have any working theories on this?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, he averaged 33 minutes a game over that 10-minute stretch, or that 10-game stretch.
Yeah.
Which is only, like, three more than his, you know, regular season average. On the other hand, you know, his minutes are up from last season. He's approaching last year's season total, even though we're only 62 games into the season, I think. So maybe that does have an impact. He doesn't seem like he's himself. I'm not seeing like a sign of injury. I'm not seeing like he's hobbling around. It's just kind of like he's like in molasses.
Right.
If you look too at his free throw percentage, I mean, it has taken a dive. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I keep going back to the mental side. Like, is that the problem here? Because if you go and you look at his, remember he started off this season as like a 90% free throw shooter and, you know, everyone was celebrating. February, that dropped to 47%. Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, basically 75, 61, 72, and then in February, just boom. And he hasn't really recovered since then yet. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I just keep thinking that maybe it's just, you know, mentally he's checked out. Who knows what's going on in his life? He'd never tell any of us anyway, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that could be it. And Adam Joseph and I talked about Monday that it could be his touches offensively that are affecting the defensive end. And something Scott Brooks always did with Perk is that Perk would always get one of those first possessions to just do his thing. It's like, just clear it out and let Perk do his thing for one possession. Let's get him engaged in this game. And they don't seem to be doing that with Steven Adams. He had one shot last night, which is kind of concerning for a guy who is thought to be a well-rounded player against a pretty bad defensive team in Portland. And I know that Nurkic is a big dude, but he should be able to at least get some touches. Mm-hmm. So in games where he gets 10 or more field goal attempts, the Thunder are 17-7.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that has something to do with it. And he did get 10 shots against Dallas, and he didn't play particularly well against Dallas either. But I just wonder if that's a part of it. I don't think like that's the entire answer. Like if he just shoots more, he'll play better defense. But I do certainly think it's a part of it because basketball gets boring if you don't touch the ball, right? I mean,
right.
We've all played, and if you're the guy that's just running up and down the court and you're not touching the ball and you're not setting screens and you're not involved really on offense, then you're just running up and down a hardwood floor and then trying to keep people from scoring a basketball. I'm just thinking like mentally, like, where's his head at? Because clearly this is a mental issue. Like you said, and Fred said it this morning too, that nobody really sees any signs that it's something physical. He looks all right. He doesn't have any hand wraps. He doesn't really have anything going on. So maybe it is involvement with the team, and he, on some level, has to know how important he is even to the offense, because his check is about to get a lot bigger, and I'm sure his agent's in his ear about it. I'm sure that everybody's like, man, like you could be doing more for this team. And a lot of that's on Russell Westbrook. For some reason, Russell Westbrook loves to put up shots against Portland. The past three games, I think he's shot more than 35 shots every time they played the Trailblazers. So I don't know. What do you think? Any other theories or thoughts on Steven Adams?
Yeah, I mean, not much more than that. You know, like you said, Steven has always been a guy that, you know, will tell you he doesn't care about the stats, you know, never looks at the box score and all that stuff. But I mean, I think, like you said, it's awfully hard, you know, to, you know, really enjoy what you're doing when you're just basically running down and, okay, well, they're winning a shot. I guess I'll run back down here. I mean, he had one field goal attempt last night. Mm-hmm. One. And, you know, like I've seen a lot of, we've got a lot of people asking about Sabonis tonight. Quite frankly, I thought Sabonis had a better game than Steven Adams last night.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if this is long, you know, I don't know how long lasting this is, but I mean, when you want to look at the Thunder's issues, I think that is one big place to start.
Right. And I think that I expect him to snap out of it. And I keep saying that, like I don't have any like inside information
right.
on this, but I do expect him to snap out of this at some point. This week's Hot Hand Player of the Week, sponsored by Anchor Down, is Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo is back. Last night, he played 25 minutes. He had 16 points, 5 rebounds. He was 4 or 5 from 3. Really nice comeback. He was a plus 10 in a game that the Thunder lost, so he made a really positive impact. And you know what else is back? Me talking about the amazing tater tots at Anchor Down. So this week, you need to go get the chili cheese tots. These are tater tots with house chili, melted jack cheese, topped with fresh jalapenos and ghost pepper ranch. Delicious. Go get yourself some of these chili cheese tots. We also talked about the pizza tots last week. So they're not only a corn dog place. Their corn dogs are delicious. But if you're looking for something a little bit different, go get yourself some chili cheese tots or go get yourself a delicious salad at Anchor Down. Be sure to check out their patio and watch Thunder games there. I know that Thunder games haven't been much fun, but they are much more fun to watch at Anchor Down. Russell Westbrook has been phenomenal. And last night, he was incredible. He played very well. His defense was not good, but offensively, he shot the ball well. He had a very efficient career night, 58 points. He was great. But, and this is where Charles Barkley is having the wrong argument, right? And I talked about this Monday. It has nothing to do, the triple doubles is what he should be going for in games like this, right?
Not
putting up all the shots. It's whenever he decides that he's going to take a bulk of the scoring load. And when I say a bulk, I mean putting up 35, 36, 40 shots. Like, that's when it's like, okay. Like this is where we draw the line, and this is too much, because he does have guys that can score a little bit. There's no dominant scorers out there, but he got Victor Oladipo back last night. He has Steven Adams. He has Enes Kanter. He has Doug McDermott. He has Alex Abrines. All those guys can score, all of them. And at some point, either they're going to have to run something different on offense, or whatever it is. And I know Russ can get whatever shot, the shot that he wants when he wants it. But this team is just much better if Russ isn't taking, you know, 35 shots.
Oh, no doubt. And we'll go ahead and get to the Russ slander part of the podcast. I thought Russ did too much last night.
Yeah.
I really do. And I felt like, I mean, because there was a point where he came back in. And I know sometimes, like you said, Russ can get his shot. He can get to the rim at will. When he came back in the fourth quarter, the team was down. I mean, I could tell almost immediately that ball's not getting moved.
Sure.
And to his credit, I mean, he did, you know, later he did get a break and get Andre Robertson a dunk. But, you know, that's another thing. The Thunder's defense, it contributes so much to their offense. When they can get out in transition, and I didn't look at the transition points last night. I don't recall what the difference was. But, you know, that's when Russ really kind of gets other people involved. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, leading the break and, you know, hitting a guy for a fast break dunk. And like I said, I think it just kind of raises everyone's, you know, energy and everyone's morale. And now we're really getting into psychological stuff here. But I don't know. I just felt like last night, you know, Russ had too much of a, well, I guess it's all on me now mentality. And I think it made matters worse.
Yeah, for sure. And it's hard to pile on Russ. Because he has a massive load to carry for this team. And sometimes I'm sure he does feel like who else is going to help me out here? Like Steven Adams, his, you know, whatever it is, his desire to just help the team and that's it is great. And I think most mm-hmm. nights that is very, very helpful to this team. But I also think that it's kind of a detriment. As he becomes a much, much better player, I think that is somewhat detrimental to this team in that he's not going to complain about shots. And you know what? If he shoots one shot, he should probably let people know that that's not okay, right?
Right.
And that he should be shooting more and that he, you know, he deserves those shots. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm digging too deep there, but if you're going to be the second best player on this team, and you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who thinks that Adams isn't going to be the second best player going forward. It's tough. And back to Russ's shots in games where he shoots 30 or more shots, the Thunder are 4-6.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's done this a lot. 10 games out of 62 or 64 games is not crazy. But still, there's not a good record for it. And, you know, they could have won last night. I mean, if Russ just hits one more shot, if he hits that three, you know, they win the game. And then this is, you know, they're 5-5 in games where he shoots 30 or more shots. So it's not like this is like the worst thing ever for the Thunder.
Right.
But we just know that whenever he's at his best, whenever he is controlling the entire game and facilitating and getting those other guys involved and allowing the team to hit threes. You know, the Thunder did have that magical night where they hit those 12 threes in a row in the first half against the Jazz. And a large part of it was that Russ was creating those shots for them. And I don't know. I don't expect them to have a night like that again. But I think Russ needs to pass the ball more.
That Utah game, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book about it called Outliers, and it's all about that game.
That's right. That is a massive outlier. Oh, boy. Anything else from last night? Anything else that stood out to you? I think you're right. Sabonis was not bad. He was actually a plus one. So I don't think that he was awful. He played 20 minutes last night. He had 8 points and 4 boards. It was probably one of his best games of the season, or at least of recent memory.
Yeah.
Robertson hasn't – his defense wasn't even just spectacular last night, and guys have been killing him throughout this stretch too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Blazers bench – I mean, you go and look at the Blazers bench, and you look at the Thunder bench.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that really kind of flipped the game. And like you said, maybe it is that third quarter – when Oklahoma City finally cooled off, but you know, Myers Leonard was a plus 24. Alan Crabb was a plus 15. Everything he was throwing up was going in. He was earning his $20 million last night.
I thought that was a lot last night.
Yeah. So, but I mean, all things said, I mean, this being a home game against the Portland Trailblazers, this is a game they should have won in Portland a few nights ago, and it's a game they should have won last night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, it's not the end of the world because, you know, this is a team that has beaten Utah at home and beaten Cleveland at home. So, and there is a lot of change that they're trying to, you know, that they're enduring right now. And it's very frustrating at the moment, but, you know, wouldn't necessarily lead to any, you know, long-term assessments based on, you know, what we're seeing lately.
Yeah, I think they're going to be better, and they're going to have to be better to get some wins, especially the rest of this week. So they're on a 4-game losing streak, and they get San Antonio Thursday, Utah Saturday. But the next week they play Brooklyn on Tuesday, so they get kind of a nice little break, and then they get to play Brooklyn. And then they get to play Toronto, who is – they've been playing pretty well without Lowry, but still without Lowry is a big deal. Then Sacramento, and then they play Golden State again without Durant, which will be kind of interesting, I guess. And then Philly. So there's a lot of winnable games in there, but I think the most concerning thing coming off this 4-game losing streak is that all 4 games were extremely winnable. And that's where the biggest concern is with this team is like, wow, like if they're not beating Phoenix, if they're not beating Portland, like the rest of the schedule looks terrifying. But also, and I think I've accused the fan base of being kind of to have a college football mentality where like every game matters so much. But I think that the overall NBA media perpetuates that as well. So I think that I don't think that we need to like just panic with this team. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I still think Russell have a really good chance of winning the MVP. But
I still think they're going to get the sixth seed. I still think when all said and done, they're going to settle in at six. I thought four was kind of a long shot, even when they were 10 games over 500.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, every morning I wake up to a new MVP candidate.
Yes.
Depending on what happened the night before. And that's just kind of how the media works and how fans are working. I mean, if you scroll through Twitter and everything's about Kawhi Leonard and, you know, then the next day it's about James Harden and then the next day it's LeBron. And, you know, and that's just kind of how the cycle works. And it's easy to get caught up in all that. Yes. But, you know, you got to wait and see the body of work, you know, at the end of the season. And when we get to the end of the season, I don't know if a lot of people are going to be fretting over this losing streak, just like people aren't fretting over that three-game losing streak to start January.
Yeah, and in the NBA writing world, it's what have you done for me lately? And it was that Kawhi Leonard shot and block that put him in the MVP conversation. Let's say the game against Houston that was at home where Russell Westbrook destroyed Clint Capella. If that game had happened last night, Russell Westbrook, MVP, it's clear.
Oh, yeah.
Game over.
Yeah. Right.
It's all about what has just happened. And don't fall victim to being in the moment. I think you have to look at the body of work. I think you have to look at this Thunder roster, and they did get better. And now they're even better now that they have Victor Oladipo back. And he looked good last night. He played well. He was a positive impact. He made a positive impact on the team last night. So I think that we just hang on, Thunder fans. And even through the weekend, just hang on. Like, if they lose these two games, if this ends up being a six-game losing streak, don't overreact, because I do think that they're going to put it together and they're going to be fine. They're still going to make the playoffs. This is still going to be basically where we thought they were going to end up. I still think that's where they're going to end up, where they're still probably maybe a 30 to 40% chance of winning a first round series. And then they're going to try to retool this summer. And that's always been the plan, right? I mean, the plan hasn't changed and nothing has really changed from this 4-game losing streak, except for that their draft position actually might be a little bit better. And that's probably about it.
Yeah. And I know, again, like Presti made that trade and talked about, he wanted to give this team, you know, I guess a chance to be better, or I forgot exactly what phrase he used, but you know, basically that trade was to get a long-term piece in Doug McDermott and to get a guy in Taj Gibson that can help this team out right now and into the playoffs. So, I know, and maybe I'm a little bit guilty too, because I've been talking about, okay, you know, if there's a path to the Western Conference Finals, and I keep trying to cushion that with, this is a long shot.
Yeah.
when I talk about these things, because most likely the scenario is they get to the first round of the playoffs, they lose. I mean, that is the most likely scenario at this point. Now, a lot of things could happen. And, you know, that's when I talk about things, you know, I'm trying to strategize where falling in the sixth seed might be better than trying to get the fourth seed if you want to advance as far as you can. But, you know, ultimately, I think hopefully everyone has a fairly good understanding on what this team actually is this season.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's answer a few Twitter questions and then we'll be done. We won't have a super long podcast this morning because it's not the most fun thing to talk about. From at Rec Baller, what scheme changes can the Thunder make to get Adams more involved? Opposing bigs are dropping back on high pick and rolls.
Yeah, I mean, and they just got Oladipo back, so they've got another floor spacer. I'm really curious to see if Donovan finds, you know, some lineups with like McDermott and Abrines or Oladipo or something that gives Russ and Adams more room to operate. Because I don't know, I'm really curious to see if that, you know, can actually improve things.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Adams is a guy you can throw the ball to, right? And not just like he's like strictly like DeAndre Jordan pick and roll guy. Like he can do stuff with the ball. He can pass a little bit. He can, you know, he has a few little post moves. He's got that little jump hook that's actually pretty good. I don't know. And even that they're dropping back, like, we know that Adams has that, you know, mid paint shot that he can hit, that little floater shot from the middle of the paint that he's hit consistently this season. I think the thing is that there's multiple ways to do it, right? He's not just a one-dimensional offensive player, and it's not like he's like some like offensive juggernaut that like they're just holding back. But he can get a shot, and Russell Westbrook can get him a shot. I just think that they need to be focused on doing that, and I do think that that would help turn him around mentally if he could get 15 shots or something like that. And they're gonna play the Spurs on Thursday, and there's honestly some pretty decent matchups for him offensively. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge isn't an awful defender, but he isn't just a stopper. Dwayne Dedmon has gotten a little bit of buzz this season, but Adams should be able to post up Dwayne Dedmon and take him. David Lee is going to play a lot. Pau Gasol. I mean, like, there are some good matchups for Adams, and he should play a lot of minutes, and he should get some looks against this team because they like to play slower. They like to play big. I think this is a good matchup and a good time to get Adams back involved with the offense and in multiple ways. And they've had it in their scheme all season. I mean, there's a lot of games where he's gotten more than 10 field goals. I said they're 17-7. There's a lot of times that he's gotten a lot of shots. So they just need to make an effort to do so.
And I mean, consider too, I mean, Portland twice. Okay. They've got Nurkic, who is a load of a human being, or Myers Leonard, who hangs it on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. That's just been, I think, a difficult assignment for Adams. And then also versus Dallas, where they downsized and he's chasing Dirk Nowitzki all around. I don't think I don't think that help matters either. Phoenix was just, I don't know, that was just a mess of a game. So, I mean, maybe that's part of it too. They just had some really, difficult matchups for Steven, and maybe, going against San Antonio and Utah will be more, back up his alley.
Yep. Let's do two more from at JPOSU. Isn't it time to pack in the Sabonis development project for the year? Taj, Grant, McDermott would all help this team, would all be better in his minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, taking the recency bias out, because I mean, we just talked about, Sabonis was better than Adams last night. Yeah, Sabonis has had a rough stretch, and I think Billy Donovan has shown, where he's essentially on most nights been 11 or 12 minutes reserve that's in the starting lineup. I do think Taj needs to get more minutes. I'm not sure exactly how you do that, and also with Adams and Ganter, keep everyone else happy. I wouldn't shelve the experiment just yet. Although, we've talked about it. I think come playoff time that's probably when you're going to see a change.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add to that. I think that they're going to continue to develop him. Obviously, last night was kind of like a big middle finger to everybody who thinks that he shouldn't play because he played 20 minutes last night. mm-hmm. So I do agree with Jason that, I mean, if your goal is to win games, he's not really helping you win games right now. There's also the long view that's going on right now, and it's hard to understand that for fans, because like, we're just invested in game by game. Let's win this game, and I think that that's what the Thunder want as well. But they have like five different goals at once. When like a Thunder fan, when you're watching the game, is just win. It's just a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, to Jason's point, yeah, Sabonis has slammed into that wall recently. So, yeah. And I definitely see the value in playing Taj over him. But yeah. I do understand, too, where Donovan is taking this. Okay, we'll start him and see how the game goes. And if it's just not a good fit, he's going to play 10 minutes. And if he's actually showing that he can help us, we'll run him more than that.
Yeah. Last question from at the _real_DBW. Please explain why Samaj F. Kristen is playing Franklin this Kristen. Much. And in fourth quarters of games that we need to win. Why is he playing, John?
Because Donovan was desperate to find some defensive lineup last night.
Yeah.
And really, that's it. And that's when he is that's when he's turned to Kristen, even when Campaign was here. If they needed, if they needed some help on the defensive end, he's rolled Kristen out there. So, last night was sort of a, there was a point. I mean, that lineup to start the fourth quarter. What was it? Taj and Sabonis?
Taj,
Andre,
Andre,
Kristen, and was it Abrinas?
I think it. Yes, it was Abrinas because he hit a three during that stretch.
Yeah, because Oladipo, Cantor, Westbrook, Adams, all on the bench. And it was really, really strange. But, I mean, that was a lineup that was like, we have got to try to get some defensive stops.
Yes. And it's weird, like, and you keep Sabonis out there for that. I don't know. It's a weird lineup. I didn't understand the purpose of it. It was like, let's develop and also play defense. Like, I don't know. It was a weird.
It was weird.
It was a very strange lineup. I hope that we never see that again. But you're right. They were looking for defense, and that was the goal of playing Samaj last night. And his career so far was perfectly summed up in one possession where he stole the ball, goes up for a layup, and just gets completely just destroyed by a block. I don't remember who blocked it. Maybe Aminu or somebody. But he just blocked right at the rim, just had no chance of the ball going in. And that perfectly sums up his game at least for now.
So it was a desperation move. I mean, that's the reason why he was out there. And Donovan's always been a coach that he will try, he'll try different things. So he tried it. And I don't know. I can't say the game would have turned out, differently had that been Norris Cole instead.
Yeah, and Cole was playing very badly. He had two just abysmal turnovers in the first half. Hang on, Thunder fans. Don't panic. Okay, it's going to be okay. John, thanks for coming on the podcast today. We'll follow you on Twitter at John M. Hamm. We can listen to you on the franchise here locally. We can read your stuff at Bleacher Report. And thanks for coming on. And we will talk to you guys on Friday.